It is our, as we work on the provider website to update it, it is our New Year's resolution to make sure that calls get put up on the website so that people can listen to them. We do have requests for that already for this call. And I appreciate everybody who was able to change their calendar for today. So thank you very much. We'll wait just another couple minutes. Again, don't put the call on hold. I think I would really rather have people mute themselves than to have us mute everybody. I just don't want to discourage anybody from contributing. I'll probably be talking more today than I like to, just because I want to go over a couple of resources, but I also really like to hear your thoughts on things as well. So we don't want to discourage anybody from asking questions or speaking up with ideas, best practices, et cetera. So, all right, I think that we will go ahead and get started. It seems like just about everybody is on. It slowed down a little bit. You can mute yourself with star 6. If we hear background noise during the call, we will go ahead and mute everybody. So just if you're on the call, just be sure that you're on mute, not on hold. I don't know how many times I should say that. I know people get tired of it, but sometimes people forget and we end the call accidentally. So beginning of the year, Happy New Year, everybody. Again, thanks for changing dates. The reason why I've asked you to change dates, if you're on the webinar, is I have a new grandbaby. Very excited, my first one. A couple of pictures, so you can see. I was also out sick last week, so I was able to be with him the week before when he was brand new, so that was pretty awesome. Okay, so what I'd like to do today is go over a question that I received yesterday that has to do with series presentations. So instead of a single course, a series like a case conference or a tumor board, those types of things, and offering CNE for those. And I'd like your input on some questions that I got for those of you that are doing those. And our other New Year's resolution is to figure out why the polling feature on the webinar won't work for everybody, because I would really like to poll people and find out how many of you are doing CNE for things like case conferences and tumor boards, but we can't do that at the moment. Before we start, also, are there any questions about the annual report or anything? Anything like that?
I'm guessing they're all looking for it because I haven't sent it out yet.
I have a question.
I have gotten a couple questions.
Let me get out.
Yes, I know, right? Next week, I'm actually hoping to get the invoices out this week, and then the very brief annual report request will be sent out next week. It'll be very similar to last year. It's still the Cognito form. You click on the link, you fill out the information, you hit submit, and you're done. The annual fee, I don't know if we'll be attached to it or not. It seemed to cause some confusion last year, so we may just handle those two things separately. But as last year, it's the request for information amounts to a current list of your nurse planners, and that will be it for this year. So,
sounds great. All right, if anybody does have questions, you can let us know. And again, for a couple of years when we were doing annual reports, we were asking for information like your outcome measures, different pieces of your activity files. I think one year we asked for a full activity file. This year, again, we're just going to keep it simple for you all. Part of that reason is because in an email recently, because this is WNA's year to submit our approver application to ANCC. We need to have everybody get their NARS data in the NARS system for 2018 as soon as you can. And we've asked people this year to try to get that in by February 22nd. That'll give us about 5 minutes to download the data and get our report in to ANCC, literally about 5 minutes. So that is a little bit sooner than the deadline last year. We want people to have time to work on that. We'll talk about NARS later in the call. And we wanted to keep the annual report simple so that you would have a little bit more time to work on that NARS deadline of February 22nd. And again, that moved up this year because we need the data to submit to ANCC much sooner this year. Right? Okay, so for the rest of the call, we'll talk about a question about RSS, regularly scheduled series, which is like tumor boards, case conferences. I'd like to go over the resources that I sent out, the WNA manuals for early 2019. And I would also like to go through a little bit on NARS. It's kind of hard to know what to cover with NARS because I think we're at a place where people are really feeling good about it, you've done it. Perhaps you are lucky enough to have somebody to help you enter your data, and people can troubleshoot and problem solve. We also have kind of the opposite end. We've got a few new providers who haven't really used it much before. So when we get to the NARS portion of the call, what I'd like to do is just open it up for questions first and then kind of do a little bit of an overview. Also, would really appreciate any insights that folks have that have been using it for a while, any best practices or any hints that you have. All right. So before we get started with this question, does anybody have any like criteria-related questions or anything that they are needing answered at the moment? And it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you do. Everyone's looking at pictures of the baby. Okay. So hearing none, then I would like to go ahead and address the question I received about regularly scheduled series, which is what tumor boards and case conferences are called for continuing medical education. ANCC changed some of their language on how they're referring to the different types of activities that we offer. And one of the ANCC categories now is regularly scheduled series. So your tumor boards, your case conferences, those type of things. So there's a specific question that was asked, but there's a couple of general questions that have come up before as well. So I guess my question to you all is, if you, and you don't have to be planning a series, you just have to think about this, and then tell me what you think. If you are planning to do CME credit for a regularly scheduled series, what are some kinds of things that you need to consider that you might not need to consider just planning a regular course?
Hi, this is Julie from Children's.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. One of the things we do is we use the EPTs, which are no longer required, but because the monthly topic may change and the references may change for each month, we have them use that to document that rather than going back to the EARF and adding to that and adding to that and adding to that. Is that
That's
right?
Awesome. That is an awesome idea. Because my takeaway from your answer, Julie, is that you do need to provide ongoing documentation and do some forward thinking about, you know, who are the presenters going to be, especially if it's like a grand rounds where you have one gap and you have, you know, overall outcomes that fall into what you want to have addressed by that series. And you really do need to do some forward thinking about who are the speakers going to be, do we have their conflicts of interest forms, and then, as Julie mentioned, ongoing documentation as far as, you know, references, their, you know, content information, that type of thing. So I think that's a great use of the education planning table that I think would be really helpful to people, because, yeah, it gets a little cumbersome to keep adding, like, sheets of paper or keep adding to that. Awesome. Thank you. Anything else that anybody can think of that you might have to consider that might be a little different for a RSS series?
Mary Kay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Karen Bale,
yes.
And I just wanted to say, so along with what Julie just said, are we then have, even though the education planning tables can be, like, added later because they're not required and they can be filled out later, you still have to know who is presenting and have all their conflicts of interest at that initial activity record form, correct?
Yeah, you need to do some thinking about who, you know, who the presenters are going to be. You need to have the conflict of interest forms for the presenters. A lot of people look at this, and we just talked about this on an ANCC call. A lot of people who are providers look at this kind of on a quarterly basis. So maybe you can't predict it for a grand rounds. Maybe you can't predict a year down the road who your speaker is going to be, because priorities can change within a content area. If new problems come up that you want to try to address with a grand rounds or an RSS, you know, you could have some changes from the original plan. So if you can't do an annual plan and know who your speakers are and who your topics are for a whole year, take it in smaller pieces and go by quarters and say, okay, for the next 3 months, what do we want to accomplish with this? Who are speakers? Make sure you have a conflict of interest forms before they get up there, just like with any other presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is, it is really hard to plan a year in advance. So that would be one acceptable way to do some forward thinking, is think about it in quarters, even months if it's like a weekly series. And then I think with the educational planning tables, I think it may be a case of, if, Julie, do you have your presenters fill those out then?
Yes, we have them fill them out along with their COIs before the presentation.
Okay, yeah. So the goal of the documentation, and I know we all do our best, but I know sometimes documentation does fall behind. We do see that with the applications. We can kind of tell that. But the goal of the planning is really to do the documentation during the planning process. So ideally you would have your presenters provide their references and their topics beforehand and have that in the activity record beforehand. That's the goal, that the documents in the education activity record would be used for the planning process. All right.
So Mary Kay,
yeah.
Mary Kay, this is Julie Dobbs from Aurora.
Yeah.
And I had to jump on the call here late, so I caught the end of Julie's example. But I'm wondering if, and if this was already discussed, I'll listen to the recording later, but I'm wondering about applying this same concept to cancer conference activities that can occur almost daily or more than daily sometimes in organizations, and where the goal and the gap is the same, and actually the presenters are just
not, could be a group of whoever shows up is part of the present.
Yep. You would want to have your conflict of interest forms for anybody who's choosing cases. You would want to have conflict of interest. You would want to have your conflict of interest forms really for anybody who is controlling that content as far as the planning for CMC. It is considered that the learners are not presenters, even if they're contributing to the conversation. I've not asked that specific question of ANCC, but since they are aligning with the ACCME, I would assume that that same rule would apply, but I'll check on that just to confirm that. Because the idea of getting conflict of interest forms from anybody who might walk in that room is pretty daunting.
Yeah.
We used to do it for CME. And then our questions were clarified by our medical society and by ACCME as far as who needs those conflict of interest forms for, you know, tumor boards, cancer conferences, et cetera. So I will, Julie, I will take that to, I think I have a call next week with ANCC and just double check that they are doing it the same way that ACCME is. But always make sure, regardless of, well, might need them, which we'll find out, always make sure that whoever's choosing the cases has those filled out. If you have regular presenters of content, I would have those folks fill them out as well. You know, you're going to have, depending on if it's interdisciplinary, if you're having physicians and nurses learning together and you want to start giving CME and there's being CME given as well, then you're going to have a core group probably that is going to be facilitating that. I would have the regular facilitators fill out a conflict of interest form for sure. And depending if it's interdisciplinary, CME might already have those forms filled out. Okay.
All
right. That is a great question, and I'm going to take that as an assignment to myself to clarify for CME who all of these conflict of interest forms filled out.
Okay.
I'll be interested to see what the answer is. Thanks very much. That's a great question. Okay.
Mary Kay, this is Annette Andrus from Munson Medical Center, and I'm relatively new in this role, so pardon my question if I should already know this. But my question is, if you were talking about looking at your plan while you were planning and looking at it on a quarterly basis, were you suggesting that there would be like a new application for that series each time every quarter, or are you looking at a change in the documentation after the initial application has been already gone through? Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and it's a great question, and it's an opportunity, I think, for people that have been doing this for a while to share with folks that haven't been. But I would reply to that by saying you don't need to do a new educational activity record form quarterly. It would be more of a matter of making sure you have conflict of interest forms for the next quarter, making sure you know what your topics are for the next quarter, if there's references that need to be collected, references for the next quarter. And there is a little bit of a difference between the subtleties of CME for like a case conference, like a tumor board or cancer conference, and CME for a Grand Rounds series. They are, for the purposes of NARS, considered both to be a regularly scheduled series. My answer to your question is just keep adding to that documentation.
Fantastic. That's what I was hoping the answer was. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. So the specific question that came up is, and again, you don't have to be offering a regularly scheduled series to be able to contribute to answering the question. But the question came up about partial attendance. So let's say you have a course for oncology, and you've got a good gap. You've got outcomes that you are confident about, and really feel like you've done a good assessment of what's needed for the target audience, and the topics are going to vary. So, for example, one offering might be on medications and their use. Another might be on, focus on radiation. But it's all about the need to learn new information related to some oncology topics. So let's say that we have 12 sessions, so one a month, and the question is it okay to offer the CNE and provide a certificate to folks who don't come to all 12 sessions? And if it's okay, how do I decide that? How do I kind of, what's my rationale for that? So can anybody besides me maybe explain how you might do that?
I'm Mary Kay, this is Joyce. We're in the midst of doing our first regularly scheduled series, so this will help verify if I'm doing it right or not, I guess, what I'm doing. So our series is called Clinical Skills Focus, and then every other month we're focusing on those low-volume, high-risk type things. So every other month, the title starts out with Clinical Skills Focus, and it's dash, our first one's going to be chest tubes and trachs.
Mm-hmm.
And our plan is that everyone who attends in February, Clinical Skills Focus, chest tubes and trachs, is going to get the contact hours associated with that, with February.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they're going to come again in April or again in, June. So people could end up at the end of the year having attended all six, or maybe they just attend one. So they'll get the contact hours for the sessions they attend. And then if I understand it right, in NARS, we just add up the total number of attendance, whether someone attended once or if they attend once, they count once. If they attend six, they count as six. Add it all up and plop it in as one number in NARS.
Yes, that is correct. And, I would add to that thank you, Joyce. I think the rationale-wise for that, you've got you're planning your series. It's based on one general gap. It's based on a broad outcome or a broad set of outcomes. And the key for partial attendance in general is, can the participant attend part of something, whether that's a series or, a one-day course? Conferences, we give partial attendance a lot of times. But I think the rationale for that is to think about, can the participant meet the outcomes having attended part of a conference day, part of a session, part of a series? And so that is that's something to think about, offering partial attendance. If you were offering a series and you felt that participants could not meet the outcomes unless they attended all of them, that's your call. So I think in most cases, especially depending on how you structure your series and how you think about your outcomes when you're developing each session of your series, rationale-wise, I think there's a really good chance that your participants are going to be able to meet the outcomes for the series by, you know, without attending every single one. Okay? Great, thanks. Questions about that?
The other thing that we do, this is Pat Tatel, is...
This is Susan Medd. I have a question.
Because we're required for our continuing education for social workers, we have an attestation that is part of the evaluation. So in the they again reiterate that they were that they attended X amount of sessions and that they only are asking for credit up until that point.
Yep, and I think that that's a kind of a great double, you know, like a crosscheck. So that is certainly something that would be fine to do. Thanks, Pat. Great. Susan, you had a question?
Yeah, I did. And I already did my NARS report for 2018, and I'm thinking now I put something in as a series, which isn't. So we offer a every other month preceptor development program for contact hours. It's a full-day program. The speakers are the same. The objectives are the same. The learning gap is the same. But it's a different audience each time.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. It's not considered a series. It's considered a course that's repeated several times. And
okay.
my other hat, we have a ton of those. But you know what, Susan?
Okay.
If you've got it, if you already have it entered as a series for this year, I wouldn't, if it's a lot of work to go back and change, I wouldn't go back and change it. I can just make a note of it. NARS is still relatively new. ANCC is still pretty forgiving about it.
Okay.
And they know that we're all doing the best we can. So I would just make a note of it for this coming year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then what I would need to do is basically copy a lot of the same stuff for each time it's offered because it's considered separate programs because the audience is different. Okay.
Yep, you got it. Yeah.
Okay, that's useful to know. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
And thanks for being
forgiving. You bet. Yep. That's the one thing that I always try to promote on the calls. We're all just doing the best we can, and I'd rather have you ask a question you're not sure about than to, you know, maybe keep doing something in a way. Maybe there's a better way to do it, but you're afraid to ask. Just ask. That's what we're all here for. Awesome. Thank you. All right. So, great question. On the RSS. This is something that is relatively new to CNE. It's coming up more and more. And I will clarify about the conflict of interest forms for those case conferences. All right. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. All right. One of the things, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. I want to go over just quickly the resources that I sent, and then I want to spend about 20 minutes on NARS. So, Megan, can you kind of timekeep, and if I go past 12:40 or so, let me know?
Yes.
In the email that was, thank you. In the email that was sent yesterday, we have... There we go. I sent two resources, and if you were at the live update in October, you have already seen these. For those of you that weren't, we tried to put together a WNA manual for a provider unit, and you have a manual that's kind of an overview of approved provider responsibilities. If you're new, this is worth taking a look at. If you're not new, I am still taking a look at, and I just want to highlight a few things. So the first one is the manual for approved provider units, kind of an overview. A couple of things about this. A lot of people had asked, too, about the ANCC manual, and I think the general idea is that the states provide their own resources to their own providers, whereas some of the ANCC resources are meant more for their accredited providers. But people have a lot of questions about, hey, what's in the ANCC manual? How do I get it? That type of thing. So I did get permission to take information out of the ANCC manual. It's pretty much in context. The citation is up here. And anything in maroon print in here is from ANCC. So the first part just talks about becoming a provider. Thing you might want to take a look at is on page 1 and 2, the role of the primary nurse planner, because this could help you when you do your every 3-year application, when you're writing or reviewing your job description for your primary nurse planner. So when you renew every 3 years with WMA, you need to write an application, and part of that is telling us what you do as a primary nurse planner. So this might be good information there. And a lot of info out of the ANCC manual, their conceptual framework for education. The other thing that I would like you to take a look at that I know I talk about and people get tired of it is provider unit evaluation. So the reason I keep talking about it is because on your every 3-year application, this is probably still the area that we see the most revisions that are needed. And so you need to be conducting a provider unit evaluation, which is just figuring out how do we know that our provider unit is effective overall. And then that needs to be formally documented. There is a specific question on the every 3-year application that it addresses this, and I think responses are improving, but you have to do it before you can write about it. So when we talk about provider unit evaluation, again, at a minimum, addressing how you're meeting quality outcome measures. And when you do a provider unit evaluation, it should result in changing quality outcome measures. That's an assumption ANCC makes, and that assumption is the basis for a successful answer on one of the questions in the application. So here are some things that you might look at when you evaluate your provider unit, and the goal is are we being effective? And also, what else can we do? What else can we measure to be effective? So this would be a good thing to look for. It's a longer section on evaluating your outcome measures. Again, this is here in the hope that it will help you on your every 3-year application. When you think about your process for how you evaluate, that you can take a look at that. And the other thing I wanted to point out in here is you do renew every 3 years, but it's good to think about more than once every 3 years what it is that the criteria are all about. So on page 5 and 6 and 7 of the manual, list out, and this is exactly what's on your every 3-year application, that you need to describe and give an example of how you do the following. So this is basically the application. So take a look at this every once in a while. Take a look at it with your nurse planners, but try to think about it a little bit between times when you're and not just when your application is coming up. The other piece of this is an activity manual. So the first one had to do with the overall big picture of your provider unit. This one has to do more with activities. It does have a dynamic table of contents, so that if you want to know about joint providership, you can just click on joint providership and it will take you to that section. This is set up so that every section of the area is covered, and every section is going to have something from ANCC. Every section is going to have key points. So if you look down your activity record form, this follows right along with your activity record form when you're filling those out or have questions about filling them out. So something from the ANCC manual, key points that we want to make sure that you know, kind of the rules, and then implications for the activity record form. So what do I need to think about in relation to the activity record form? Well, I need to make sure that my promotional materials contain a joint providership statement and that in my materials the provider has to be clearly identified. And then each section will have a sample of how it's filled out. So you'll see those for each section. There's also an education design process overview. We did spend some time in the live provider update talking about the educational design process overall. The first thing being identifying is education as the right intervention at the live provider update, and then we shared it on the November call, thinking about when are we going to offer CNE, because that is a problem that a lot of provider units face. And then the overview section also talks about kind of the flow of your planning and if you have a gap in knowledge, skill, or practice, kind of what that looks like through the planning. And we can talk about that in more detail another time. The other area in here that I wanted to point out is people ask a lot for an example of how do I do a professional practice gap? How do I write that up? So there is, again, going down the activity record form. I know it's 1240, Megan. Going down the activity record form. Megan and I can read each other's minds. There is what ANCC has to say about professional practice gaps. There is some key points that WNA want you to know, and next time we update this, I'm going to put in here that your gap analysis statement should start with, we are offering, or we were having this activity because, so why are you having the activity is the key to your gap analysis. The implications for the activity record, a lot of people, when they submit every 3 years their application, they'll submit, you have to submit three activity records, and one thing that is missing the most is the evidence related to the gap. So just, again, what we think is important related to your activity record form. And what I wanted to point out is there is a sample gap analysis, current state, desired state, filled out in this manual, so you can take a look at that and see, you know, when we're reviewing this, kind of what are we looking for? How are these being written? And again, your gap is the problem we're trying to solve. The reason that we're offering this is nurses aren't using this tool the same way. So hopefully that will be helpful. I know a lot of people have asked for that. And then, again, it just goes down the educational activity record form. Another thing that people struggle with is learning outcome. In the manual, it shows you the difference between a learning objective and a learning outcome and how you can write those and make them measurable. So that those are the kind of things that are in the manual. I hope it's helpful. It goes right down the activity record form. As we make tweaks to the activity record form, I'll have to keep updating this. And there is a section on, there's a long section on conflict of interest and content integrity, and a lot of it is taken straight from ANCC. So you can take a read through that. It's really good information. All right. So please use those as a resource. If you find things, in them that need to be corrected or updated, let me know, because we always have that, and we appreciate knowing that so we can do periodic updates. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about NARS. I wish we could get the polling to work, because at this point I would love to ask, you know, who out there is comfortable with NARS and who isn't. And before I kind of go over this, there will be, Megan, you can push me over the edge if you'd like. My goal is to have a NARS webinar up on the WNA website in early February, so that if you are new to it and having problems, you have a resource. And I guess my question would be, before we kind of do an overview of this, because I think some of you just have it down, you're doing great. My question for you all is, what kind of challenges or what kind of questions do you come up when you're entering your information in NARS? Is there anything that comes up a lot? Like, one question that came up is, you know, how do we enter a course that we do a bunch of times? You know, it's a great question. Now we know. Any other questions or even challenges when you're uploading?
I did have one question, Megan, about the regular scheduled series. I've been entering them individually just because I have different amount of people that come to each one, so, because it's a little easier for me to track. Is that okay, or does it have to be on one?
Mm-hmm. I would say if you have been doing it that way, it's fine. I would maybe for 2019 kind of just save up that information on the side and then just enter it at the end of the year as total. So don't change what you've done for 2018. 2019, still keep that same documentation, just don't enter it until the end of the year. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is nice to know as you go, who's there, how many people are there. That's good information to have. Other questions or challenges?
I have a question for our advanced practice nurses and our CNSs. They have that pharmacology requirement, and there's really no good way to document that on NARS other than we put in the title in parentheses how many pharmacy credits we offered. Are they looking at that at all? Or
at this point, I don't know that ANCC is looking at that. I would think that would be an awesome thing to look at, because it would just be a great place to have that information. So I can take that question to the next call. ANCC loves me because I bring like four or five questions to every call. So I think that would be a really good question to ask. The pharmacology information. We don't offer pharmacology credit, so it's definitely not an area of expertise for me. I know enough to know that there is someone at WNA who does have a lot of expertise in it, and that there are some planning and documentation guidelines that you have to follow. So good question, Julie. I will take that and see what I can find out.
Thank you.
Yes, you bet. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Okay. So, and if you think of something along the way, just holler, let me know. So just a quick overview for those who are newer. On the WNA website, on the provider page, is all the NARS resources. So if you're struggling or need resources, everything that you could possibly want to know about NARS is there. And just a quick, this comes out of a PowerPoint that was originally done about NARS when we first started it, is what information is needed. When you enter activities manually, there's a bunch of extra fields when you enter, if you have a lot of activities and you choose, instead of entering them manually, if you choose to put them in an Excel spreadsheet and upload that as a tab delimited file, there's a lot of So in the information that is on the WNA website, there's a PowerPoint, and the slide comes out of there as far as what needs to be entered. So that is in there. Let me see if I have timed out yet. Okay. So this, I'm in NARS right now, and if you haven't been in there, if you're a new provider, or you don't know how to get in, let me know. You do need to initiate it with a login and password. The only thing I'll say is don't touch the program summary tab until you're ready to submit your information February 22nd or before. And user management, I think a lot of people don't realize you can add your own users. I believe the limit is still 5. If anybody is over that successfully, let me know. Because sometimes for a large organization, 5 is barely enough. So you can add a new user, and when you do that, they would get their login and password. Logins and passwords we don't see. So we don't know when you've requested someone else for your organization be put into NARS. And if you do want help with that, that's something that we're able to help with. Most people enter activities, if they're small organizations, they enter them manually using this add an activity. Button, and it's pretty straightforward. Again, not all these fields need to be filled in, and so you can go back to the PowerPoint slide that's on the WNA website under the NARS on the provider page and see what is it that I need to enter. Because there's certain things you need to enter to open an activity, and then there's certain things you need to enter to be able to close an activity. So that's just kind of handy. You can go through and add this information. Your activity start and end date is the same if you have a one-day program. And it asks if it's joined or directly provided. There's a lot of stuff here that does not need to be answered. The information on competencies, et cetera, we've talked about that before. You do need to enter the number of contact hours. You do need to enter, there's these tabs. You need to answer if commercial support was received or not, and if it's yes, it's going to ask you for that information. We don't use the FDA REMS tab at all. And for participation, they would need the number of nurses who completed the activity. Folks that are entering their own information and aren't lucky enough to have somebody that enters it for them, if you've done this lately, there was some debate at first whether or not the system was asking for the number of other learners who completed the activity. Does anybody know offhand if you're having to enter that?
It is a field. Under participation,
but
number of others.
Okay.
No, because it lets me pass it if I don't put a zero. It
okay.
Doesn't.
Some people really like to use it. And some people use this not only to track for ANCC, but for themselves too. So you might want to use the other learners who completed the activity field for your own purposes. So it sounds like at this point we don't have to enter a zero anymore to bypass it, so that's good. And then you can save and quit, save and add another activity. So if you don't have a lot of activities, that would be one way that you could enter those. And then There we go. If you can look at your activities. Let's see. Okay. You can look at the activities that you've entered. You can copy an activity, which is nice for those sessions that or the courses that you repeat over and over. So you can do it that way. Another way to enter is a batch activity upload. I would recommend this if you are a large organization, and I'll go over this in a minute. It can be a little tricky, but it's a really good way to enter information if you if you're a larger organization and you have a lot of activities. What I wanted to show you first quick, because we've only looked at this once, is, and this is what I'm talking about when you put your three-year application in and we need a list of your activities. You can get it from NARS. You can download it from NARS and send it to us. Don't make a whole other list. So if you wanted to get your own report on your activities, you could go to Download All Activities. I'm going to do 2017 because we haven't uploaded 2018 yet for MetaStar. And if you click on Download All Activities and put the year in that you want, you're going to get an Excel spreadsheet. And in order to use this for your application, you would just need to clean out the information that you don't need. That's better. And in the application, it will tell you exactly what information you need and what information you don't. And it's pretty quick and easy to clean this up and use it for your application. So just know that this information is in there and that you have access to a report that you can pull that will show you your NARS information. All right. So that's kind of the front end of putting activities in, the back end of getting the report out. We looked at one way to enter activities, which is manually. If we're a large organization and we wanted to batch load or put into NARS a bunch of activities that we've recorded in an Excel spreadsheet, you would do batch activity upload, and it will ask you for a file. You have to make that file, first of all, and on the WNA website, there is a template that you can use. It's straight from ANCC. It does say 2016. It still says 2016. ANCC hasn't changed it. We haven't changed that. But there's a special form that you use if you want to put your activities in this in a spreadsheet to upload. It's got to be this spreadsheet. I've made the columns that you have to enter information on purple. The ones you can ignore are gray. Do not delete the gray columns. So you would there's. Information and specific instructions on, it's called a tab delimited file, specific instructions for how to do a tab delimited file. And you would basically keep the formatting of this document, clear out the contents of what ANCC has in there for examples. I always change my row height because I like to format row height. I just like them all to be the same, a little OCD. And then what I do, and again, we'll go into more detail on this in our webinar. What I like to do to make sure I still have my formatting is to go to a column that has a drop-down. And if you have your drop-down, you can see it. then you still have your formatting. And then you would copy these formatted rows for however many activities that you think you might have. What we do, and my other hat for our provider unit, is we enter, we have a separate spreadsheet for every month, so we enter the activities monthly. You would go through them and complete this. If there's a drop-down, you always want to use the drop-down. Where it works out from. Okay. And you would then enter your data in here for all the purple columns. Once you have that entered, it might look something like this. You enter either an ANCC activity ID is generated, or you enter a provider activity ID. It's just easier to always use a provider activity ID, honestly. So all the purple columns are filled in. All the gray columns are not filled in. And so the last thing I would need to do with this is save it as a tab delimited file, space delimited, tab delimited. So you can't upload the Excel spreadsheet directly. You would have to have a tab delimited file. And when you save it, you have to like save it like 8 times. No, just exaggerating. You have to save it. And then when you go to close it, it's going to ask you to save it again. And it's going to ask you to replace the file. And I know it's 1 o'clock. So just super quick, if you guys have to go, that's fine. I totally get that. There we go. You would go to your file. Oops. Everyone knows that I have a mock computer. You would go to this tab delimited file that you made. And I can guarantee you that this isn't going to work, but that's okay because I want to demonstrate what happens if you have errors in your spreadsheet. Okay. So this NARS won't let me enter it because I have errors, and it's going to tell me exactly what line and what column my errors are in. If I go in and fix those and try uploading it again, I'll probably have less. And basically what I do is I print this out and just go through it and update the information and then save it again as a tab delimited file. So that's a quick overview. Again, I'd like to put a webinar up there in early February. It's 101. Thank you so much for your time. If you have questions offline about NARS, please let me know. And have a great day. Thank you guys so much for your time.